I never dreamed like this. I never thought I'd be in the majors at such a young age. Who could ever think of being at the majors at the age of 21 and then coming back this next year having a Strawberry Sunday day? It's like I say, it's a big honor for me, and it'll be something for me to remember and something for me to always appreciate by the New York Mets.
And he hit it. There it is. Base hit left field. Here comes Heap around second. There will be no throw to the plate. And Strawberry has his first major league base hit. He's 1-for-12.
And it's also his first major league RBI. He scored his first major league run on Friday night's game. He'll always remember this one. A little flare off the end of the bat. It ain't pretty, honey, but it counts.
Well, as we've said before, they all look like ropes in the box score tomorrow.
Could be an inside the park home run.
That's right. Here's Darryl warming up their third pitcher. Well hit to left center field. Out of here. Darryl Strawberry's first major league home run.
Oh,
Strawberry goes to the opposite power alley with great authority. It's a two-run home run. And now the Mets are out in front 7-1.
Darryl with the second and third major league RBIs. There's a happy young man right there.
Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. I said, praise the Lord, Bridgeway. One more time for the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. It's so good to see you in the house of the Lord. Can we put our hands together for the Lord, because he woke us up this morning and he got us here in the house of the Lord. And of course, at the Owens Mills Reisterstown campus, thank you for coming to church today. And for those of you who are online, wherever you are, in your kitchen, in your car, we're just glad you're worshiping with us today. Today, we're at the end of a four-week winter guest speaker series that we do every year, where we bring in relationships where people can pour into us from the outside. In just a moment, that guy you saw on the screen is going to be right here on our stage, and I'll introduce him. But let me remind you that next week, we're going to start a brand new series that I'm doing called Bold. We're going to talk about bold courage. The next week, bold strength. The next week, bold hope. And the last week, Kevin Turpin II is going to talk about bold faith here as well as in Owings Mills. We have someone that's going to be right there speaking to you the word of God, Pastor Minister Juan Delgado. Now, we bring in relationships because we believe that the house of the Lord is God's people wherever you are around the world. There's some folk that have a unique ability to be able to speak into God's people. And when Darryl Strawberry and I started talking on the phone last summer, you could just tell that he's just a real dude. And you're going to find that out really quickly. Some of you may know who he is because you're baseball fans and you've probably followed all of this. Others of you may be, you know what, I'm not into baseball, but maybe I heard his name in the news. But today, you're going to hear some news from him that's really, really good. And so for the first 15 or 20 minutes, I'm going to do a short interview with him, and then I'm going to unleash him on you. I also, though, want to honor his manager who's with him and his son, Jordan. So his manager is John Lupo. John, stand up and wave to everybody. Let them see you. Thank you for hanging out with this guy. John came to know the Lord because Darryl Strawberry led him to Jesus, and now he's his manager. And then his 29-year-old son, Jordan, just wave to me, Jordan, right there from the booth. There you go, that's Jordan as well. So now I want you to give a warm welcome to the 8-time All-Star, 4-time World Series champion with the New York Mets and the New York Yankees. Put your hands together for the great slugger, hitter, Darryl Strawberry.
Oh, man, I like you, man. Come on.
What do you want?
Sit down right there. Oh, am I supposed to have that? Okay, there you go. There you go, man.
Thank you, sir.
What's happening, man?
Oh, it's all good, man. Thank you for having me. Bridgeway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Been hearing about this awesome church here.
Yeah.
It's good to be with you, sir.
How's it feel to be here already? The house of the Lord at Bridgeway. I know it's your first time. What's it feel like already?
Sunday mornings are great. You know, Sunday, every day is great, but Sunday mornings you go, you look forward to getting up early. I've been up since 5 o'clock ready to worship the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, so I learned that lesson from my wife. Get up, get ready, let's go, because we got to go worship the Lord.
Amen to that. Talk about your wife, Tracy. She actually had a really big influence on you. You want to talk about her for a second?
Yeah, I'm sitting here, I'm the man I am today because of her. You do know that God, when God give you a woman, that's a good thing.
You know, yeah.
Especially if she loves the Lord, you know. Man, my wife is really incredible. She's the reason for my season. She's the reason that I am the man that I am today, because God would use her to lead me back into church. Mm. You know, I was strung out in drugs and addiction, lifestyle, sin, brokenness, $3 million in debt, didn't have a driver's license. She was banging on doors down in South Florida, pulling me out of dope houses and telling me, God's got a plan for you. Wow. I thought to myself, man, she's crazier than I am. But the thing about it, I think sometimes we don't understand. God is never going to do anything different, Pastor. He's going to always do what he's always done. He's going to use people to help people.
Yeah.
That's his greatest gift that he gives to people. One that he saves, he gives them the ability to go back and help somebody else come to the cross and surrender their life. So, you know, that's the reason for my season. Me and Tracy have been together for like 24 years. She's got 24 years in recovery. You know, I got over 20. I'm way behind her because she was clean before I was. But she fell in love with Jesus. And it wasn't about me. It wasn't about what we didn't have. It was about Jesus. Mm. And I really watched her, and I wanted what she had. I was like, God, why are you always speaking to her? God was like, well, it's because she spends time with me. Mm. And she wakes up every morning and roll out of bed for 24 years at 5:30 in the morning to go study and be with God on the other side of the house. And God says, well, if you really want what she has, you're going to have to do what she's doing. And that's when I learned to, like, turn off the cell phone, turn off the television at night. And I went into the other side of the house and learned to saturate myself in the Word. Mm. Because God cannot reveal who he is to you if he does not know you. So I knew she had a personal relationship with Christ, and I wanted that. So I had to do something different. If you really want to elevate yourself to the next level, you're going to have to do something different. It doesn't seem great. It's going to be challenging, but you got to do something different to get to that place where God really wants you to be personally.
So you took time to spend time with God, and then God began to reveal himself to you. But you actually took real time. Like, you sat in church and under the Word to be discipled for 7 years?
7 years, yeah. Seven, well, God, just answer God and do what he calls you to do, you know. I was one of those guys that was so hard-headed, you know, and I had to sit for 7 years to go through the discipleship process before God released me to go into the calling upon my life. And sometimes people think, 7 years? How did you sit 7 years? Well, I was out there running forever. Man. And we forget about how long we were out there living any old kind of way and doing any old kind of thing. But when we get with God, oh, we don't have no patience, you know. And that's when I realized that I had to have patience. God said, I need you to be disciplined like you were when you were training for baseball. Mm. You were disciplined. You trained yourself. You knew how to go to the park and run and focus, walk around, run the bases, talk to yourself. That's the same thing you got to do in the Word. You know, you got to sit there. You got to meditate on the Word. You got to learn to eat on the Word. And you got to dissect it, and you got to chop it up. And you got to let the Holy Spirit speak to you and let the Holy Spirit teach you what God's will is for your life. You know, and a lot of times we don't have enough patience because we as people here, because we in the flesh.
Right.
You know, and the flesh is crazy.
Yeah, you know, amen.
The flesh want everything, want to talk about everything. But the spirit man is trying to lead you and guide you and direct you into your purpose. And it's greater than what that desire is. And I had to learn that through that process of locking myself up in the room and laying on my face with God and crying out to God and telling God that, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for not obeying you. Mm. You know, because we all in our life don't obey God. You know, and it's not until you come into a personal relationship with him, and that's when you learn to walk in obedience with God, when you have that personal relationship, because now you know how to enter in, you know how to hear God, and you know how to hear the Spirit speaking to you. And when it tells you to do something, do it. You know, that's, you know, and that's the problem with us as people. You know, we want that instant gratification fix. Instant gratification is not going to get you anywhere. See, what I learned about God is not short-term, he's long-term. Mm-hmm. You know, we're short-term people, but he's a long-term God. You know, he's going to wait for you. He want to show you the big picture. He don't want to show you just the small picture. We want the small picture. If we got something right away, we'd be so happy. We might not even run back to church, just want to serve God. God wants to give you things step by step to keep you coming forward so you can keep you growing. The process of what it was all about was growing. Because he didn't want to put me in that pulpit because that pulpit is nothing to play with.
Yeah.
You know, because the people that you're ministering to, and if you're not living according to the biblical principles, folks get hurt.
Yeah.
You know, behind your foolishness.
Right.
And God told me that.
Why you pointing at me like that? Hey.
I just like pointing at you, brother.
Okay, talk about foolishness. Let's talk about yours for a minute. Get off of me.
We all got a little foolishness in us, you know, it's all good.
You lost millions, you made multi-millions, you were very, very famous, still are. In those years, what was it like to be on top of the world when it came to baseball and at the same time dealing with the fall of your own flesh? Was there conflict in your spirit all the time, or was there no conflict because you weren't walking with the Lord and you were just out there?
It really wasn't any conflict whatsoever because I was living such a heathen lifestyle. You know, I was a sinner and I needed a savior. I didn't know that. And I was just out there living, you know, being famous, rich, you live behind community gates, you have everything, you have money, you have stuff, but you just have stuff. You know, putting on a uniform just made me a baseball player. It doesn't make you a man because you put a uniform on, you got millions of dollars. You know, it just make you somebody that's successful and you've achieved a lot of things. So what's next? Are you still, you're always looking to get more. And you have plenty, but it's not enough. You know, and I had to realize that and come to that conclusion in my life, you know, due to the fact it had nothing to do with me. It had to do with my mother. You know, that was the key of my life. I'm living the legacy of what my mother prayed for. See, my mother was dying, and she died at the age of 55 from terminal breast cancer. But I was living the heathen lifestyle, playing Major League Baseball and being successful, and my mother was behind the scenes praying for me. Mm. She never stopped praying for me. Yeah. She never stopped praying for none of her kids. She was a great woman of faith, and she just lived it. She didn't preach to us or nothing. She just went to church, served God. But she dies at the age of 55 from terminal breast cancer. So my sister finds a journal under her bed after she passes away. And in her journal, she's writing to God about each kid, and she's praying, God, save them, stop them, do this. And she got to me in the prayer, and she says, God, knock him off of his throne.
Wow. Wow.
Her prayers came to pass. Mm. This is for some mothers in here today. You understand, you just keep praying. You just keep going. Mama crossed over the Jordan River. Mama crossed over the Jordan River, but she left a legacy that she prayed for that came to pass.
Yeah.
Because when she passed away, I was still living the wild life, and then eventually it would come to pass. So it's not up to you to see it. Mama not seeing the natural, but she's seeing the supernatural, what she prayed for.
Amen.
You know, and that's what people have to realize. You know, prayer is important. Prayer is something you do not stop doing, no matter what it may look like. Come to the altar, the cross, pray, leave it there.
Yeah.
Stop picking it up, trying to carry it. God does not need your help.
Mm. Yeah.
He's the Almighty God. He knows exactly when he's going to do it and how he's going to do it. And I'm the living example of what my mother prayed for, because I prayed for her one night when she was in the bed. She said, pray for me. And I prayed. She said, you could pray. She said, God just spoke to me. I said, what did he say? She said, God said, you're going to go through it, but he's going to get it out of you. Mm. I said, Mom, don't tell me that. I need a drink. She said, you go right ahead and get that drink, but he's going to get it out of you. You're going to go through it. And she was not lying. Wow. I went through it. I went through it from a public standpoint and everything, persecuted and everything. But at the end, what she said, he's going to get it out of you, he got it out of me. And
wow. For people who don't know, what did you go through?
I went through everything you possibly go through, a lifestyle of living dysfunction, broken marriage, broken kids, you know. I wasn't the father that I should have been because I didn't see a father figure in my home. My dad was a raging alcoholic, so I ended up being just like him. I ended up being just like him, a womanizer, and treating, you know, my family any old kind of way, the wife and kids. You know, my father used to beat me and tell me I would never amount to anything. Came home for the last time, pulled out a shotgun, said he was going to kill the whole family when we were about 14 years old. Had my mother not gotten us out of the house, we'd have killed him that night. So I was already broken before I ever put the uniform on. Brokenness is real. Lawlessness brings about brokenness. So I went through everything that the same that my father. I ended up having cancer twice and losing my left kidney in my second surgery. I ended up in a Florida State prison with a T-17169 because of addiction. See, God was doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. Why do I say that? Because, see, God has a plan to really stop you at every point. Every point was a stopping point, but I couldn't recognize it because I was like everybody else be saying, I know his name is Jesus, but I deny his power on the cross, the finished work on the cross. Mm-hmm. You're never experiencing Jesus by just knowing his name. You experience Jesus when you know the finished work on the cross at Calvary and what he did. So I went through hell, you know, and I went through a dark time in life. And, you know, and I tell, you know, I go into the prisons now and tell the guys the same thing. You know, when I was in there, I said, ever since I met Jesus, I ain't never been in handcuffs again. So that tells you how good Jesus really is.
Yeah.
In your life. And so I was in handcuffs. I was in everything when I was completely separated from God. But meeting God, it brought me to a greater understanding of why he creates us. Yeah. You know, he creates us for him.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned legacy with your mother. It's not always about the first half of your life. It's the whole game, and the second half of your life is so much different than the first half. But the second half really matters. Ask Kansas City. And so, you know, the game goes all the way.
Well, now you're going there with Kansas City, right?
You know, we've been talking sports all week, and I just thought I'd throw that in there. But, you know, it's not always how you start, it's how you finish.
Right.
What do you want your legacy to be?
Yeah, I want my legacy to be not my baseball career. That's not important to me because I can't take any trophies with me. I can't take any success with me. You know, all I'm going to be able to is take me, myself, and I with me when God calls me home. And I want my legacy to be for my children, where my mother left a legacy for us, that Jesus is Lord, that they would watch and see you. And that's why I have my son Jordan traveling with me. I want him to see. I don't preach to him or anything, none of my kids, but I want them to see what this life is all about, being a true follower of Jesus and how you live and how you respond to life and how you respond to life situations. Because a lot of times people want to leave their legacy about whatever I've accomplished. When you die, they're only going to talk about you for a week and then it's over. That's just it.
Yeah.
That's the way it is for every person. Well, he was a good person. He was this or he did it. But who are you at the end of the day? And that's what I want my kids to be able to realize. My dad was a true man, a true follower of Jesus Christ. He was a man of faith. You know, not the things he achieved on the ball field, but the things he achieved for the kingdom of God.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Wow, that's great, man. Well, in just a minute, I want to leave the stage and allow you to give a word that God has put in you to our people. But one last thing, inquiring minds want to know, Daryl Strawberry, the Mets or the Yankees?
New York.
Nice.
New York. Yeah, I mean, just, you know, everybody always asks me that. Of course, I was a Met, you know, on my beginning of my career where most of my success was, and then I went over to the Yankees. And, of course, I beat up on the Baltimore Orioles quite a bit, too. You know. I had to just throw that in
there.
Yeah,
I had to throw that out. Okay, yeah. I deserve that. Okay, good. No, man, but you've been preaching the word now. Like, why'd you become a preacher? Like, you could still be a follower of Christ and build on your fame or things of that sort, but you're actually preaching the word. What's up with that?
Well, it actually wasn't my idea, you know. It was God's idea when he stopped me and called me, you know, 17 years ago and said, you're going to preach now. I said, I don't want to preach. He said, you're going to preach. I said, I'm not qualified. He said, no one is qualified. I qualified the call. He said, the Holy Spirit is going to ascend up on you and he's going to teach you the Bible supernaturally. Listen to him. Mm. And that's when I finally made my yes to him, you know, which is a three-letter word, Y-E-S, yes. That means you enjoy salvation.
Mm. That means like
you,
it.
Yeah, that means
yeah, you are a preacher. Go ahead, man. I like that. I'm going to use that. Y'all going to hear that.
That means you get to experience salvation and what this is all about, and you get to help people. You know, when God calls you, and the highest calling you can get is a pastor, teacher, evangelist, and what he calls you to do. But he calls you to represent him and not yourself. You know, and that's what you have to learn if you want to go into this thing called ministry. It's not about you. It's about the kingdom. And it's about souls. And I think, you know, as a nation of people, we've gotten away from what's important. And it's really about the souls that God really want to be saved before it's too late. Yeah. And he cares about people more than people care about people. Mm-hmm. And he teaches you that through his word. And that's how you become a minister of the gospel. And like I said, I didn't go to school or anything when he called me. I mean, he called me right from where I was at. He called me from a pit and put me in the pulpit. Yeah, you know, that was his whole plan. You know, is he was gonna take he'll take the mess of who you are and bring it to his message of who he is.
Amen. You know. Well, from the pit to the pulpit, come on and give us a word. Put your hands together for Daryl Strawberry.
All right, thank you. All right, thank you, Bridgeway. Thanks for having me, Pastor. Pastor David, it's such an honor to be here with you and your team and all of you that are here today and all of you that are online. I just want to encourage you to get back in church, you know, because the presence of God is in church. You miss out on God's anointing, his freshness for you, and God has a word when you show up to church. And you show up to the church house, he's got a word for you to help you, to encourage you, to make you move into the destiny that he has for you. God has a great destiny and a plan for all of us. It's just a matter of when we decide to receive it and take it. Little did I know that I would become a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But God knew it. So I just want to encourage you all today about your faith and walking in faith and understanding the purpose of who you are in Christ. I want to, the title today to this message is about when things happen. When things happen, who do you trust when things happen? Financial problems, sickness, storms, marriage problems, kid problems, job loss. Who do you trust when things happen? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 talks about it. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all his ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. See, he's already got a perfect plan. He's already mapped it out for you. But you got to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Because you're going to have some of those storms. When facing storms or when you're facing the storm, either you're in a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or storm's on the way. But God, one thing God taught me when I was in a storm, as long as you don't drown, you're going to be all right, baby. As long as you don't go under and drown, you're going to be all right. Because he will do what he needs to do. But as people, we have to do our part too. That means you got to step into action. You can't be straddling the fence talking about Jesus, but I really don't know the power of Jesus. So many know his name, but we denied his power. We denied Calvary. We denied Jesus hanging on the cross, Calvary. And we're just like the scribes and the Pharisees. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then he says, Father, why have you forsaken me? But his last words were so profound on that cross when Jesus said it. He said, it is finished. Everything that kills you, Jesus already killed it. He went to the tomb. Early Sunday morning, he got up from the tomb. He got up with all power in his hands. So when you die from the flesh of you, you get to be just like Christ. Galatians 2:20 talks about it. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. It is Christ who lives in me. This Jesus is a bad dude. Met a lot of folks, but I ain't never met nobody like him. Never met someone that can take everything that is wrong and turn it into good. Not some things, everything. He's the miracle maker. Even when things happen, even when things happen in your life, when you have financial problems, when you have sickness, when you have the storms, marriage problem, kids problems. Oh, you have some kids. My mother told me, wait till you get your kids. was she right. Job loss, who do you trust? That Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It didn't say some, it says all your heart. You don't know God until you give God your heart. Because the head is a knucklehead. The thoughts come from the enemy to deceive you in your head. But if you give God your heart, then you'll know him. Your relationship with him will be everything that you need it to be. And you'll know how to operate in his plan, in his purpose, in his will, and his good. But it's not until you taste and see that the Lord is good. And you understand who you are, not what you do. A lot of times people were thinking about what you do. I mean, yeah, I was very successful as a baseball player, but that was just a baseball player. But when I met Jesus, I became a man. There's a big difference in that when you come to understand meeting Jesus and know that he was wounded for your transgression, he was bruised for your iniquity. By his stripes, you get to be healed. Now you get to live the abundant life that Jesus is talking about in that John 10:10, where he says, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But he says, I have come that they may have life and may have it more abundantly. You know what abundant life he's talking about? I'm gonna give you joy. I'm gonna give you peace. I'm gonna give you wisdom. I'm gonna give you knowledge. I'm gonna give you power. I'm gonna give you something far greater than you can ever imagine. You can't even imagine what I'm going to give you, because what I pour down inside of you does not come from here. It's not an earthly thing. It's a kingdom thing. It comes from God's kingdom. The Bible makes it clear that my people perish because of lack of knowledge. The reason why I was perishing, I had earthly knowledge, but I didn't have kingdom knowledge. This is kingdom knowledge. This is the knowledge that God had created for every last one of us to have, to experience his goodness, his love, his grace, his mercy. See, what you're looking at a man that's been extended grace. That's all it is grace. Even when things happen, I understand, I trust in the Lord and lean not on my own understanding. And now you understand grace. You know what grace is? Grace is something you don't deserve, and he gives it to us anyway. I mean, he feeds us the grace daily to get up and go. You're talking about a man that 24 years, one kidney, operating, been preaching the gospel. You can't tell me God ain't good. You can't tell me his grace is not sufficient. And it's not because of anything great about me or what I've done. All I did was, like most of the other people that were in the Bible, they all had issues, but God used them mightily. I had issues, but I had to get rid of the ego, which is a three-letter word, easing God out. I had to get rid of that ego. See, you got to crush that ego, man. You got to crush that ego. You got to let God crush that ego so he can empower you with such great revelation of who he is and not who you are. See, God told me when I put me in the pulpit, don't make it about you, make it about the kingdom. Make it about my people. Because like I said, they all had issues just like we did. Moses had a speech impediment. God used him mightily to lead the Israelites out of bondage. They could have been in the promised land 11 days. They complained so much, God left them in the wilderness for another 40 years. I love it. I love God. He'll leave you stuck if you want to stay stuck. I was stuck a few times, Lord, but I'm not stuck today. Yeah. See, this relationship with God is really cool. You have so much fun. See, the world tells you something different. Young people, get off of TikTok, her talking that talk. Get in this Bible, young people. Save yourself a lot of headaches. Listen to a man that knows what he's talking about. Been there and done that. When you live a sinful life, you're separated from God. People say, well, Mr. Durr, aren't you still a sinner? I say, yeah, I just don't practice anymore. I refuse to practice the lifestyle because I do know what Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's telling me right there what it is, death. That's why we die, because we think we can just live that way and we don't trust God and we don't understand this Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. Not some of your ways, you acknowledge him in all your ways. Everything that you do, you acknowledge him as Lord. See, when my feet hit the ground every morning, it's like, thank you, Lord. It didn't have to be. You've given me another day. We take it for granted like we're just gonna wake up. Tomorrow's not promised to none of us. Where you going if tomorrow's not promised to you? I'm getting so tired, Pastor. Everybody's talking about, you know, they putting that rest in peace, see you in heaven, everybody getting into heaven. Man, folks better stop playing with that. Everybody ain't getting into heaven. Ask Nicodemus in John 3, where Jesus told him, unless one is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about born of his spirit. He's not talking about being born of the flesh. He's talking about that second birth, born of his spirit, to be able to enter in to the kingdom of heaven. It's all here, you know, it's all here in the book. Because the Bible makes it clear, heaven and earth will pass away, but not my word. I don't know what took me so long to pick this up, mama. My mama was waiting for me to pick this book up, but she prayed me in. She stayed faithful. So I'm telling you, some of you mothers in here today, stay faithful to God. It's not going to be your decision. It's going to be your prayers that's going to get your kids where it needs to get them. Because God is not short of hearing prayers from the righteous. And it's on his time, and he's going to do it on his time. You know what I love about God? He's a right-on-time God. He's a right-on-time. He does not make any mistakes. He does not condemn anybody. Does not judge anybody. Because had he judged the people before us, heaven would be empty. If he judged the people that was all sinners, maybe in the Old Testament it was like that. But you know, it all comes to that falling short. You know, everybody would come here would fall short because of Genesis 3, Adam and Eve. One man would bring sin in, and then you go, he brings his son, Jesus, to come in. He would bring the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. One man would bring grace in, and he would bring grace in for all people. That's what has been extended to every last one of us. The problem is that we're just so busy, we want to do our own thing. And I was no different than anybody else. You know, I wanted to do my own thing for many years, and it wasn't until I surrendered myself and you know, I really needed to understand the way. Jesus said in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, we go every other way. We go this way, that way, and try to go every other way and get it. And it's been right here in the Word of God. That's what a revelation is. That's how we become what Christ wants us to become. He reveals himself to us through his Word. Not through us, you know, not through us throwing our hand up and then, you know, one minute I'm throwing my hand up and then the next minute, you know, I'm out in the club doing an electric slide. I'm got a drink in my hand. Kavashe, what God are you serving? You know, that's just, that's what we have to ask ourselves. I'm saying that's what I was too, just like everybody else was. You know, the athletes and the people in the entertainment business, they get like that and act like that, and we watch them and we think that's cool. You know, and I just remember when I got on this journey with God, they were like saying, well, let's see how long this Jesus gonna last for him. He'll be back. Well, it's been 20 years and they still waiting for me to come back. It's been 20 years and they're waiting for me to come back. But see, they don't know the word. And when you get the word down inside of you, you don't go back. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, God's got something new for you every day. When you lay with him and you trust him, you trust the Holy Spirit, you let the Holy Spirit empower you. The Holy Spirit taught me the Bible supernaturally. He retains the scriptures in my belly. They're not in my head because my head is foolish. And if you want him to retain stuff for you, you're going to have to go in a room and hide out by yourself and tell the Holy Spirit to teach me this Bible. He's a gentleman. He's just waiting for people to ask him to teach me God's will and God's way so I can learn how to live and know the purpose of this life for myself before it's over. It's not about all about success. People think it's about the success of celebrities having great success. I tell you one thing. If they don't know Jesus, you ain't getting into the kingdom. This is nothing to play with. This is real. And God is calling his people to stop playing. The enemy is busy. He's busy. Jesus is not coming back for a black person, white person, Spanish person, Asian person. Jesus is coming back for some holy people. That's who he's coming back for. John 3:30, he must increase and I must decrease. See, I tell my flesh every day, shut up, you stupid. And you know why I do that? Because I kill him. And I let the spirit man lead me and guide me. Because if you don't turn it off, you're going to end up making the wrong decisions. Too many, you know, too many folks are too busy in this. Nothing in this. We didn't grow up with this. It's right here in the book. What you're looking for, you're looking to be truly a follower of Jesus and on God's team and the church. Jesus is coming back for his bride, which is the church. The church house is the most important thing. Folks running from church instead of running to church. Folks need to be in church and know what the church is all about and the kingdom is all about and sowing your money into the church. Me and Tracy started with in debt, $3 million. I was $3 million and didn't have a driver's license in debt. See, when we got in church and when we got with God, we started doing his way, the biblical principle ways, and God blessed us, multiplied, increased us, got me out of debt, and gave me more than I was in debt. Why? Because we don't just give 10%, we give 25% because it don't even belong to us. See, we know how this works. We know the blessings are real, the blessings are true, what God really wants to do in your life. But he's got to get his people to understand. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek, that's what he's talking about. If you can pray and seek and turn from those wicked ways and turn from those worldly things and thinking all these things can satisfy you, they cannot satisfy you. You go to the book of Ecclesiastes and you look at King Solomon. He was the richest, wisest man in Jerusalem. Had it all, did it all. And he goes on to the first three chapters I read. The Holy Spirit told him to circle how many times he said I in the first three chapters. It was like 46 times I think I got. He said, I built this, I did this, I did that. He lost his way. He took his eyes off what was important. He writes the book of Proverbs of wisdom and knowledge and gives you all kinds of instructions, but he went on to build all these things and thought it was, and he said, it's meaningless under the sun without God. It means nothing. You know how big the house is, how big the car is, how big the bank account is. It's meaningless under the sun without God. Because the house is not going with you, the car is not going with you, and that bank account is not going with you. He's going to take you yourself when it's your time. And what will he say? Will he say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant? Well, that's what I want to hear, Lord. I don't want to hear anything else because nothing else is important. What's important is his will, his purpose, his people. And that's all of us. He's not talking about color of us. He's talking about all of us. Let the world be out there and stay out there. Let them do what they do. We need to do what we need to do. We need to be the body of Christ. We need to be the hands and feet of Jesus. In the book of John, I talked about Nicodemus, John 3, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. John 4, Jesus was telling the woman at the well, if you drink this living water, which is me, you'll never thirst again. Because it's living water. I have never been thirsty since I've been drinking this. And he's telling that woman because that woman was thinking he was talking about that water in that well, give him a drink, want to give him a drink. And then he told her about her five husbands, said the one you with now is not your husband. Well, Jesus know everything, he see everything. John 8, don't be like the scribes and Pharisees. They wanted to stone the woman because she was caught in adultery because of the law of Moses. Jesus didn't come here to destroy the law. He came here to fulfill the law. He was stooping down in the sand and writing. He raised up. He said, he, without sin, cast the first stone. From the oldest to the youngest, dropped stones because they all had fallen short. He asked the woman, where are your accusers? Has anyone accused you? She said, no. He said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Only one man can do that. John 5, the pool of Bethesda. Man sat there for 38 years, paralyzed. Read the text. Jesus didn't ask that man about his condition. Looks like the condition of every last one of you in here. Jesus already know the condition of you. You know what he asked that man? Do you want to be well? You know what that man said? Sir, every time I try to get in the pool, he says, I'm not talking about the excuses. Do you want to be well? He says, yes. He said, pick up your bed and walk. It made him well like that. Jesus is everything that you need. You don't need anything else. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is a great God, and he loves his people. That's all of us. So hopefully you'll take this home with you today, and you'll go back, saturate yourself in this, so he can reveal to you who you are. Let us pray. Father, we love you, honor you, thank you. Father, thank you for the words that have went forward, Father, for your people. Father, we give you glory all the time, not sometime, because there is no one like you, and we need you every step of the way, Lord. Lord, I send this petition up to you, and I ask that you would seal it over your people today here at Bridgeway. What a wonderful ministry, pastors, teachers, and leaders. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, doctor.
From the pit to the pulpit. Thank you so much, Daryl Strawberry, for that word, when things happen. Thank you for dropping that word on us. And he's made it really, really clear that without Jesus, nothing else really matters. Before we close out and end today's service, Daryl, I want to just ask you, how can we pray for you, for all of my friends and guests who come before we leave the stage, man? We just want to pray for you, and I'm going to ask Pastor Will to come up here as well, and Pastor Mitch, as you're there at Owens Mills, just as our congregation here in Columbia extends a hand in prayer, I'm going to ask you there at Owens Mills just to extend a hand toward the screen, and Pastor, if you'll come on this side over here, and this is Pastor Will, by the way.
Pastor Will,
Daryl Strawberry. There you go. I'm glad y'all can meet. Okay. how can we pray for you, brother?
Hey, just really pray for me that God will just continue to give me strength, you know, to travel like I do. I'm on the road like 270 times out of the year. And that even just comforted me, you know, in the times, you know, when I spent a lot of time alone in a lot of hotels, you know, but I'm really not alone. I got the Holy Ghost with me. So, but yeah, pray for that. That's really a need, you know, to health-wise and everything, yeah, to be able to do it.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on by Bridgeway. We're so glad you took time to come here.
Thank you.
My people. These are my people. Ain't they beautiful? Look at
yeah,
them.
Yeah, they are.
I want you to take them home with you in your heart, and you pray for my people.
Well, I do.
Are y'all ready to pray for him?
Well,
mm-hmm. All right, so let's extend the hand, Owens Mills. Y'all ready to pray for him? Okay, Will, would you be so kind to cover our brother right now?
Absolutely. We pray you would come, Holy Spirit. We thank you so much, Father, for Mr. Strawberry. We thank you for your protection,
yes, Lord,
on him. We thank you for the way in which you have taken his story and you've woven it and transformed it into a beautiful story of redemption that brings you glory and that serves your purpose and your kingdom in this world. We thank you, Lord, that you pulled him up from the pit and you put him in the pulpit.
Yes, Lord.
You put his feet on a solid rock. You put a new song in his mouth, the song of praise to our God, that many would see and hear and believe in you and trust in you. We pray that you would continue to protect him as he travels to do your work. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to give him energy and strength in his mind, in his body, in his soul. We ask that you would protect his family and those nights when he's away ministering, that you would watch over them and that you would encourage his heart, that you would be close to him. And we just trust you, Lord, that as he continues to spread your word, you would just allow an incredible harvest of souls to be able to come to know you. And that on the final day when he stands before you, he would get to see the fruit of his labor and hear that, well done, good and faithful servant. Your labor is not in vain. We thank you and we pray all of these things in your son Jesus' name. And we know that you hear us because you love us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Thank you.
One more time for Daryl Strawberry.